Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, Kitro here. Time for us to delve into the TSFP Presents archive once more and start a new series. And when I say start a new series, I mean re-release a series that was originally recorded for patrons in September 2019. It's called Cult Heroes, some of the biggest names in Spanish football that maybe you've never heard of. In episode one, we're discussing a Salvadorian magician and a Basque bruiser. The full archive is available exclusively for patrons at patreon.com/TSFP. Enjoy. Hello patrons and welcome to another series of TSFP Presents. Over the next few weeks we're going to be looking at cult heroes, some of the most mercurial talents ever to have graced Spanish football, including Sid Lowe.
And we're smiling already, we love this.
I'm really excited about this one, I have to say. They might not have been the best players, they might not have been the most successful players, but they were loved and they are loved.
They all have something that... yeah, that wins people over, that makes them feel special, that makes them different.
I was going to start, before we get into discussing our two cult heroes for this episode, what makes a cult hero?
I don't know, right? So because, for example, the two we're going
to... I've got an idea, but go on.
Before we say who they are, the two we talk about today are absolute opposites, yes, in a way, as to why they are cult heroes. And we mentioned this briefly before, but it might be worth pointing this out. I asked Spaniards on Twitter who their cult heroes were and had the problem of trying to describe a cult hero to them. And the answers that most of them gave, in truth, were just the local boy who was really good.
Right.
And most of them didn't really fully grasp this idea of a cult hero until we gave them, in particular, one of the two names we're talking about today, and then I think they grasped it. That idea of someone who fans embrace despite the fact that they know that this guy wasn't necessarily the best, or at least this guy wasn't necessarily the one who went and won the European Cup for us and went and won the league for us, but there is something about him that we identify with.
Yes,
it's about affection fundamentally, isn't it? And also about something a little flawed, maybe.
That's the word I would say, because I think certainly with the two guys that we've got today, I think they embody maybe two facets of cult hero-dom. One, yeah, is being very bad, but trying very, 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 very hard. Yeah. And the other one is actually being quite good, but being sort of deeply flawed.
But fundamentally not trying at all. Yeah. I mean, they are the total opposite, these two guys.
I think it's that. I think there's one other essential ingredient that you haven't mentioned, which is charisma. And I don't mean charisma in terms of personality, because maybe not, but charisma on the pitch as a player.
Yeah, they personality.
They transmitted something, to use that Spanish phrase. They through the way they played, they expressed something of who they are, not just what they were doing. I think there's an element of truth in that, yeah.
Okay, so there we go. That's more or less what we mean by cult hero. Each episode is going to have two heroes in it, and we're going to...
Well, it's going to have three.
And those three are going to be talking about two ex-footballers.
Two blokes who might have done something once.
The first guy we're going to talk about is a massive, massive cult hero for Cádiz Club de Fútbol. It is Mágico González.
Yeah.
It's strange because outside of Spain and Central America, maybe, he's not really very well known.
That's what makes him the perfect cult hero, because he's massive to some, but completely unknown to others.
I mean, to the extent that today, when I was watching some old videos of him and listening to some of his former teammates talk about him and stuff like that, I did think today, there's a book in this.
Watch this space.
I really did think, you know what? There's a book in Mágico González.
And there is a book in it, because there are so many stories and there's so many facets to his personality. He wasn't born, his name isn't actually Mahiko.
Was it not?
No.
Oh no!
Sorry, has that ruined some of the cult hero status?
His name it's called George.
His name is actually Jorge. Jorge Alberto González Barrillas. He was born in San Salvador, the capital of El Salvador, on the 13th of March, 1958. He had seven brothers and sisters and they lived in a, by all descriptions, a pretty humble part of town. He was spotted at the 1982 World Cup and he had offers to sign for Atletico Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, apparently, as well.
Mm. Yeah, the first of many offers that supposedly came in over the course of his career.
I think this is also part of... Maybe this is also part of the cult hero thing. The construction of legend.
Right.
And the construction of mythology.
Okay. He didn't join either of those two sides, though. He did join Second Division Cadiz.
And maybe this leads us on to another element of what it is that's a cult hero.
What's that?
Just how perfectly someone can fit their environment. So,
yes.
If he hadn't gone to Cadiz...
Yes.
The way that he behaved, the way that he played, the way that he was, might have been embraced differently or indeed not embraced at all. He might not have played the same way, as we then discover when he went to Valladolid, where it's cold and people are a bit more austere and a little bit more serious.
Yes.
But he was the kind of the footballing embodiment of Cadiz, which is funny, laid back, nightlife, kind of comedy.
Yes.
You know, take it easy, liberal, yeah.
Don't
relaxed.
Don't take it too seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't he was Cadiz. And if he'd gone somewhere else, maybe it wouldn't have worked.
I mean, that goes for Cadiz, the club, and for Cadiz, the city as well. And if you haven't been to Cadiz, the city, it's a really special place. And one thing that made it perfect for him, by contrast to Valladolid, for example, as you say, which couldn't be more different. When you're in Cadiz sometimes, especially in certain corners of the city, certain streets, you could so easily be in Cartagena in Colombia. Or
we could
in
be in
Havana in Cuba.
That, I mean, I've never been to Havana, but, right. But as soon... I mean, obviously, this again tells you something about the constructions of myths and images, but as the first time I went to Cadiz, I feel like I'm in Cuba. Well, and I've never been there, so I don't know what Cuba's
fact,
like.
It did, in fact, it doubled for Havana in one of the James Bond films.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah, there's a famous street in Cadiz called Calle de la Palma,
yeah.
And what you could be in Colombia or somewhere so easily, and yeah. That also was part of what made it a perfect
and
place
it's
for him.
Because it's on the coast, and it's on a very rugged part of the coast where it's windy, where it gets very kind of weather beaten during the winter, at least. It's got that lovely kind of faded grandeur about it. It's got
crumbling.
It's crumbling. Yeah.
As a player, he was by all accounts pretty good.
There's a lovely bit of footage. There's a brilliant documentary, by the way, which if you get the chance to find it, it is on YouTube because we're watching it today. The ESPN one.
The ESPN one. It's on. It's actually been posted on YouTube by Cadiz, the club themselves.
Okay.
Now, whether they have the right to do that, I don't know.
Almost certainly not. But I don't think anyone here cares.
It's on their official YouTube
channel.
Which
actually sort of sums up
Cadiz
as well.
Yeah.
Done by a friend of the pod, Martin Einstein. It's really, really good. And anyway, there's a line in that where Diego Maradona is asked about him, and Maradona says, "Without doubt, one of the best." Best players I've ever seen, and there have been suggestions that, you know, this guy was as good as Maradona or Pelé or Di Stefano. He just didn't want to be.
And it's not just that he was technically brilliant. When you watch clips, and you should go and watch clips of him online, he was really quick.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. You'll see him bursting past players time and time again, and that must have been something innate, because by all accounts it wasn't down to his
it training certainly wasn't ratio. Down to his hard work. No.
He does have some fantastic quotes.
Yeah, yeah. No, some of them are brilliant. Go on.
This is one. I mean, it's quite a long one, but I'll translate
it's worth,
it.
Yeah, it's worth.
I'll translate
going
it.
Through.
I like the night and the desire I have to enjoy it. Well, even my mother couldn't take that away from me. I know I'm irresponsible. I know I'm a bad professional, and it might be that I'm not taking advantage of the best opportunity of my life. I know, but there's something wrong in my head. I don't like taking football like a job. If I did that, I wouldn't be me. I play to enjoy myself.
And that's him in a nutshell. That's him summed up. There's a lovely interview with him done by Cayetana Ross in El País in 2003. And basically every line is something that you could put on his tombstone. You know, that sort of sums him up, that sums up this whole kind of identity of it's about fun. It's about expression. It's about being relaxed. It's about, yeah, well, you know, I disappeared for a few days, but what of it, sort of thing. And there's a great story of him. And in that interview, one of the things that Cayetano writes in the introduction and then includes in the text a couple of times, but clearly has taken it out four or five times as well. He says he kept on saying to him, Machigon Gonzalez, sorry mate, I'm falling asleep now, I'm really tired. And this was one of the things that he was always asleep. There's David Vidal, one of his coaches, who by the way is another great character,
still around,
and David Vidal saying you know, this guy could sleep for 15-20 hours, you know, a normal human being sleeps for 6 or 7. But it's not just that he could sleep for 15 or 20, it's that of course if you're out until 5 in the morning, that's going to happen. But there's a story about David Vidal, his coach, turning up at a nightclub in Cadiz and trying to find him. And the DJ seeing David Vidal coming in and going, Machigo, hide in here. And him sort of tucking him into the corner of the DJ's booth where he fell asleep. The disco closed down. Everyone went home. They locked the place up. He wakes up. He's on his own, locked in a disco in Cadiz. To which point, I would like to imagine, although I don't know this, I'd like to imagine he then turned the music back on and just carried on dancing.
I mean, there were even stories that he'd fall asleep at half time,
which he claims is not true.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds like he suffered from narcolepsy. I mean,
it
this,
does.
This sounds
yes.
like well, a listen, medical condition.
Apparently, he claimed that for many years after arriving in Spain, he claims that it was because of the time difference with El Salvador, and which I think led someone to describe it as the longest case of jet lag in history. But the other thing is, when you talk about seeing him being interviewed, really unassuming, kind of shy, not an extroverted character in terms of the way that he talks.
Not.
So don't get that impression. If you hear about him going out on the town,
it
and
sounds
that kind
cocky,
of thing,
but it's not.
He's really unassuming. And in fact, there's a clip in that ESPN documentary when he's being interviewed by Martin Einstein, and Einstein says, "Well, you know, you could have been Pele, you could have been Cruyff, you could have been Maradona," and he sort of shrugs his shoulders and he's like, well, as if he's saying, well, yeah, I probably could have been, but I wasn't.
Yeah. Also,
you know,
I don't know about
ego
you.
There really, in a way, or maybe there is, but it's
one of the lovely things about that is that, so this is at the end of the documentary, and he finds him. Martin Einstein finds Machigo Gonzalez, because there's a suggestion at that point that no one really knows where he is. You know, he just kind of disappeared one day. So Martin finds him, and they're talking on the beach. But I don't know about you, this is 15 years after he's retired, and he looks like an old rocker. He looks like an old hippie, doesn't
Talk
he?
About the look, because the look, again, is very distinctive. For me, he's got a little bit of, you know, sort of Bob Dylan in the late 70s, early 80s, with sort of the pencil moustache.
Yes.
There's a little bit of
And a very a very Central American look as well.
With the curly hair.
He's sort of somewhere between a hippie and a rocker and a fabulous furry freak brother and a Bob Dylan and a...
A little bit... He looks a little bit awkward. Like, he's always sort of looking at you out the corner, not quite... I mean, he's a little bit out of place. He's not quite sort of comfortable. That you've got... In those days, of course, you had the baggy football shirt, which kind of... It was hanging off him, but he's quite a skinny, wiry kind of frame as well.
Very much so. And it just fascinating. And you know, there's no doubt this guy had the talent to have been better. And as I say, it's not just Maradona, but there's plenty of others who said similar things about him.
He's Cadiz's best ever player?
In terms of talent, without doubt. Mm. In terms of connection with the fans, without doubt. In terms of achievement... Well, he was part of the team that got relegated, but also part of the team that got promoted.
They got promoted, relegated, promoted again, and they were in the top flight for 8 years.
And
which
he was
a Cadiz.
Yeah. So he probably is, even in terms of achievement.
Yeah,
he probably is. I mean, and by the way, as I say, in terms of not just the cult nature, even if you took the cult nature out of it, you go. It's very interesting, actually. You go to Cadiz, and he's everywhere. So you go into bars, and there's pictures of him everywhere. There's a real kind of hero worship element, which I think even for some of the other people we're going to talk about in this series, you don't get.
He's got there's a gate named after him at the Carranza.
So it's a sort
well.
Of a much, much smaller, lower scale of Maradona in Napoli, maybe.
Yes.
Like a bit of a kind of.
I mean, it's
a
not quite on that
hero.
Level, but there's a folk hero element to it, a religious element to it. There's a lovely line in one of those. One of the songs that are kind of famous for gracing the Cadiz Carnival. And basically, you get groups that tell stories through songs that are deliberately designed to poke fun at the powerful and be funny.
Loco porque pudo ser pelotero de glamour y de touché y no quiso ser un loco tan viejo, tan rincha, con un taconazo le pasa el balón. Y sin pedirle permiso.
This is the guy that when people saw him play turned atheists into the religious, because there was a kind of a religious experience to him. And this idea that this guy was, and I love this line as well, he was, I know an Indio who was mad. It was his way of being. The way that he played turned everyone mad, and it was mad for him because he could have been the very best player. He could have been un pelotero de glamour, you know, a glamorous player, but he just didn't want to.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to be that player. He wanted to be what he was, which was this guy who would go out and go to flamenco bars and sing and sit on the beach with his guitar and genuinely not turn up to training all week. There's another lovely line from Vidal, who said, you know, this guy would not turn up to training all week. So, of course, on the Friday, I wouldn't put him in the squad. We'd turn up for the game on the Saturday and he would turn up too. But no, you're not in the squad.
Vidal says he says he didn't train. He didn't come to training for 18 days in a row.
Yeah.
And that, again, that may be a slight exaggeration, but...
Which is one of the lovely lines in that Cayetano Ross interview. He says, so, you know, would you like to be a coach? And he said, well, how could I be a coach? I wouldn't turn up for training.
And talk about, you know, some of the moves that he could have had. Now, famously, of course, he did actually play for Barcelona.
Yes.
But only on a, it was like a summer US
this
tour.
I must admit, I find this really baffling. So it's when Cardiff have decided that, look, we have to get rid of this guy because he really isn't disciplined enough. David Vidal has put together a whole report about his indiscipline and handed it to the directors and said, look, you know, this guy is amazing. He's absolutely wonderful with the ball at his feet. But, you know, there are limits.
So this was 1984. I think this is 84. Something like that.
And so they decided to let him go. And Barcelona said, well, we'll take him on tour and see him. So Barcelona take him on tour. He plays with Maradona.
In fact, because it was a Barca squad plus they took one or two players, sort of big name players, along with them
to see if they would sign him. And the story goes, and obviously a lot of this, I think, there's an element of mythology. But the story goes that the reason Barcelona don't sign him is because one night in the team hotel at 5 o'clock in the morning, the alarm goes off. The fire alarm in New York, I think it is. The fire alarm goes off. Now Maxi Gonzalez knows in advance. This isn't real. It's Diego Maradona pissing around. He knows that Diego had decided he was going to set off the fire alarm at 5 in the morning. So he decides, I'm going to ignore this. Not to stay in bed and sleep, but he's actually in bed with a waitress from the bar downstairs.
Right, okay.
Now what happens, of course, is because this is a fire alarm, they evacuate the hotel and the firemen run into the hotel. The firemen, of course, run around the hotel going from room to room, and it's the firemen and the kind of fire service who drag Maxi Gonzalez and the woman he's sleeping with out of the bedroom and down onto the street below, and Barcelona decide, yeah, not a good idea.
Well, there we go. That is Mágico González. And I think at the top of the programme, as we said, he absolutely fitted perfectly with the club and the city. That's why there was such a connection between the fans.
Which is expressed, as I say, by that thing of him going to Valladolid.
Yes.
And in 6 months at Valladolid,
yes.
He plays nine times, says, sod this, I want to go back to Cardiff. And Cardiff, who'd vowed to never sign him again, they basically have the fans saying, no, you're bringing this guy back.
Yes. I mean, you've mentioned David Vidal, by the way. He's a bit of a character.
Yeah.
David Vidal is a hell of a character.
We could probably do
that. And he is currently in charge of a team that we talked about the other day, Racing Murcia, down in the Preferente in Andalusia. I was going to say, in terms of moments that you might want to go and find to take a look at, probably the best goal is the goal against Barcelona, which is the famous one when he picks it up basically inside the centre circle.
Goes around three players.
His end of the centre circle, goes all the way and scores. There's one where he almost scores with like a back heel flick, which is handballed off of the line by a defender.
It's against Real Sociedad, that. It's an amazing... Because it's not a normal back heel.
It's not just a back heel.
He sort of, you're right, it doesn't so much back heel hit it as back heel kind of scoop it somehow. He scoops it with his heel. It's amazing.
It's such a shame that the guy decides to handball it. And the other one is against Racing Santander. There's a very famous goal where he beats three defenders on the edge of the box, one of which is with a nutmeg, and then
the high finish is just wonderful. Yeah, so look him up because he's absolutely brilliant.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, let's move on and talk about the other cult hero for today. And that's Gaizka Toquero, the Basque centre forward who played Who just retired in May this year, of course, after an 11-year career in the top two divisions, mainly with Athletic Club, but also with Eibar, Alaves and Real Zaragoza. We talk about Mágico González, about his innate talent but lack of real commitment on the pitch. Gaisco Toquero is the absolute opposite.
I mean, if you could have fused the two of them together, maybe if they had a baby, just imagine what a player that would be.
Well, this sums up Toquero for you, and I really remember this interview so clearly, an interview you did with Ass about 9-10 years ago. And one of the questions was, which footballer do you admire?
Right.
And he says Zidane.
Okay.
Now, bear with me on this, because we're laughing already, and that's the whole point. He says, I admire Zidane because Zidane was everything that I'm not. Elegance, class, and talent.
I mean, they are.
I have DVDs of him, and I'm so sad that I never got the chance to coincide with him on a pitch. It would have been a great day for me.
I mean, was Zidane why he shaved his head? Or?
No, he was prematurely bald, and the story goes that when Athletic Bilbao sign him, so he's playing for Sestao River in the Segunda B in Spain. Joaquin Caparrós is the Athletic Bilbao manager, and Joaquin Caparrós turns up and he says, I like that guy. It's a pity he's a bit old for us, really, because they're looking for young players. Because he assumes, because Toquero is already bald, like fully bald at this point, apart from the grey bits at the side, he assumes that he's old. Luckily for Toquero, the guy who is sitting with Caparrós says, no, he's 23. So he says, oh, all right then. So he signs him up. Now, in a way, the embodiment of what Toquero is that he signs up as a centre-forward wearing number two.
Yes. Wearing number two throughout his career, a career which saw him play 316 games for Athletic, Alaves, Zaragoza and Eibar and score 42 goals. It's a goal every 7.5 games.
Yeah,
which is,
it's not a great ratio.
It's not a great ratio.
His best ever season was 7.
In La Liga. He scored 9 for Alaves in the Segunda Division.
Yes.
But you say he was signed by Athletic age 23 in playing in the Segunda B. He said, you know, at 23, I was still playing in the Segunda B. I never imagined that I would play in La Liga, let alone play 200 games in La Liga. He played 200 games in La Liga.
And also, not only that, but had a really big impact. Of course, where he kind of cements his status as a... as a as an idol at Athletic Bilbao is in that Copa del Rey semi-final. So they lose the first leg to Sevilla 2-1, and they win the second leg 3-0, and he scores. And that's when you get the start of this chant, which sums him up, which is the fans chanting, Adi, 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 Toquero Lendakari.
And Lendakari is...
The leader of the Basque government. So in other words, they're saying, we want this guy as president.
Very famous and often chanted song there for Toquero.
The other chant they used a lot, which was Ni Messi ni Agüero, Gaizko Toquero. Neither Messi nor Agüero, we've got Toquero, basically.
Yeah, it's funny because there was this sort of real embodiment and embracing of this guy, sort of proud of the fact that we know he's not very good, but he's ours.
This is
our kind of.
I remember writing, and I was looking for this day, and unfortunately I couldn't find it. I remember writing once about Toquero as being almost like the mascot. Of Athletic Bilbao, of
being almost saying he was their super Pepino,
of almost being like this kind of obedient puppy that runs around like mad and everyone loves him for it. And I remember someone getting really upset with me for that, which maybe takes us back to the start of today's show, because in a way that's failing to understand the whole point of a cult hero. That is why they loved him, because they knew he wasn't the best player around, but they loved the enthusiasm, the affection, the commitment, the loyalty, the sense that here's a guy that we can sort of laugh at, but at the same time we're laughing at. But he's one of ours, and we're laughing at him because we love him, and we're laughing at him because we identify with him, and because he has the attitude we would have on the pitch.
And he is one of us.
He's one of us
as well. And he is Basque. He was born in Vitoria.
Vitoria. His mum was ran the local butchers in Vitoria.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice bit of colour there, Sydney. He probably couldn't necessarily. He wouldn't have been a cult hero maybe in other parts of Spain.
Again, yeah, I think that's a fair point. So this again kind of connects him a little bit to Mágico González in that there's also something about the place.
Yes.
The place,
they
the moment,
appreciate
the time.
This
they
earnestness.
Appreciate the earnestness with which he plays. I mean, and you know, I think they do appreciate it. There's a nice interview just after he retired, which actually unfortunately was quite recently because of a knee injury. He's only 34.
Yes.
Even if he looks about 74. And he said, look, I never conned anyone. And I think that's what people appreciate. They appreciate the fact that I went on the pitch, I had my limitations and knew what they were, and I did as much as I could to avoid that. This is a guy who was a centre forward, was running 12 or 13 kilometres a game. Centre forwards don't run that much. In a way, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe positionally they should be good enough that they don't need to do that. But they really, really embrace that. They embrace this idea that here's someone who just completely destroys himself in every match.
Well, that's the funny thing is that the way that we talk about him, the kind of player, you might get the impression that he was kind of a target man, but he wasn't really a target man
because he wasn't very big.
Because when he was playing with Llorente, of course, that was probably his most kind of successful.
Well, the weird thing was Llorente played off him rather than him off Llorente. It was sort of the wrong way around. But he was a runner without ever being fast. He was a goal scorer without ever really scoring very many goals. He was a provider of opportunities for others without ever really being the person who holds the ball up particularly well. He was all these things that he sort of isn't. And yet somehow managed to be.
It is brilliant. When you go on YouTube and you look for, you know, the typical highlights compilations, you know when you can tell sometimes that they've had to work quite hard to find. And some of the clips, you're like, well, that was just like one touch. There's nothing there really. And yet it makes it into the compilation, which is naturally soundtracked by kind of aggressive, hard rock, as it should be for a player like
that. Message that Al sent us today. He said, one of the great things about this is you go and look for the best goals from certain player. You expect to say the best 10. With Toquero, it's like the best 4 goals.
I think it was 6.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
But to be fair, he scored in a Copa del Rey final against Barcelona. Of course, Barca went
and of course
to win
did that celebration.
Game,
that's the other thing. He used to do that celebration that was like a windscreen wiper in front of his face, which is actually borrowed from a wrestler.
The wrestler John Cena, yeah. And there's also there's a backheel goal against Albacete in the cup that is actually quite good.
It's very good. Yeah,
that made the top 6.
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously, he was definitely something of a cult hero for Athletic Club, but then he left there, and it was quite nice, actually. He went back to his hometown, he went back to Alaves, and in that interview you were alluding to when he just retired, he talked about how he wanted to go home and go back to his home city and how nice it was to play for Alaves. He'd played in the lower levels with them, but never for the first team, and seeing his family in the stands and his friends who had been Alaves fans all their lives, and he was there, and he had a brilliant season. His most successful ever season, scoring 9 goals, helping them to win the Segunda División. Yeah. I mean, they were, I think, mid-table when he got there, and they he went on, and
that status was really reinforced by that.
Yeah,
reinforced by that.
And then the season after that, he did okay. I think he featured maybe 20 times or something in La Liga, scored 1 goal, but helped them stay up. And get to a Copa del Rey final against Barcelona well. So he had this sort of nice end to the career. Then he went to Real Zaragoza and had his final football there. But the fact that he left Athletic and went to his hometown club as well and had a successful period there sort of rounded off his career
and
quite nicely.
And the goodwill, I think, tells you something as well. So the footage, for example, of him announcing his departure from Athletic Bilbao, he's sitting there. And his teammates are standing around him, standing all the way around the desk where he's sitting. And when he gets up, they start clapping. And, of course, they all respond. Ibai Gomez responds with a tweet that literally says, Adi, 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 Toquero, Linda, Cari. And, there's this real kind of enjoyment. As I say, there is sort of a tongue-in-cheek nature to it. But I think that's, part of what makes a cult hero, that there's an element of tongue-in-cheek. There's an element that, we know this guy's flawed. We don't care. We love him for that.
It can be tongue-in-cheek without being insincere.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's it.
Yeah. He also played, I think he said he played 4 finals in his career, never won any of them.
That may well be true, because he would have played at least 3 with Athletic Bilbao. I'm not sure what the 4th is, but that's... As a fan, he was sitting in the... In the hall next to Mendy Zarroza with all the other Alaves fans talking about lost finals, watching them lose the UEFA Cup finals to Liverpool in 2001 as a fan.
So there we go.
So maybe he started and kind of carried on like that. I also like his response to the number 2 shirt, which again, as I say, kind of defines him a little bit.
Yeah.
He's asked, well, why did you take number 2? Was it because you'd begun as a fullback, which he had? He'd begun as a right back. He said, no, it was because it was the number that was available. And I just love that kind of matter of fact. Well, it was available. The following year, he could have had 8. So, well, have 8 then. It's a much more normal number for a striker. Yeah, but I've been quite lucky with number 2. And I think that word as well. You read interviews with him, and the word lucky comes up again and again and again. And this is a guy, without any doubt, who thinks he was lucky, or at least expresses that idea, who is grateful for what he had and achieved far more than he can ever seriously have imagined.
And seems pretty content.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's nice as well.
He's apparently setting up a sporting agent's business.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see how he goes on there.
If he can make any players into Lenda Caddies. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if one of his clients actually became Lenda Caddy? that would be absolutely brilliant. There is a song, isn't there, Al?
Tenemos una joya de delantero. Su nombre es Vizca Toquero. Lleva el Atleti muy dentro suyo. Tiene raza, le sobra orgullo.
Aún sin melena, ruge feroz. Cuando va de caza, a por el gol.
Alma,
alma
de león.
Gaisca, Gaisca Toquero.
Abre el marcador, rompe el 0-0.
Gaisca, Gaisca Toquero.
Solo oír tu nombre tiembla el portero.
Y el San Mamés Gaisca ya es ídolo de la afición.
Gaisca Toquero es un
mejor. And that's not, you know, that's not really the sound you associate with him, but there he is, the soul of a lion.
Absolutely.
And the touch of a lion as well.
The soul of a lion.
We'll leave it there. Thank you for accompanying us on this journey through cult heroes of Spanish football. We've had two already. We're going to have lots more throughout the whole series. So make sure you join us for the next episode.
Tell us yours, because
we're open to suggestions. Yeah. We're open to these were two obvious guys to kick things off. We've got a list, but if you want us to add someone to the list, let us know. If we think it's viable, we'll do it. There we go. Thanks, guys. We'll see you then. Adios.
Cheerio.
Bye.